There are many that are gathering today that are rendering the worship, but it's not necessarily in spirit, and it is definitely not necessarily in truth. For the Bible teaches us that the truth will not bind you, but it will set you free. And if you abound in his truth, then salvation will truly be yours, because we want to be where his son is. My encouragement to you this morning, and the topic of this morning's sermon, is going to be finding faith. And the challenge towards the end, as I like to implement the principle of Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, one of them is beginning with the end in mind. But know that long before Stephen Covey came about, the Bible says, better is the end of a thing than its beginning. Amen? And so the encouragement for you is to be found faithful. When our Lord Jesus returns, when he is dispatched to come into clean house, to set the unrighteous on the left and the righteous on the right, to separate the goats from the sheep, will you be found faithful? Irregardless of what is going on in and around your life, will you be found faithful? That is the question that you ought to be able to answer in and of yourself, and it ought to be evident. For the Bible teaches us in the book of Matthew that a tree is known by its fruit. The Bible also teaches us in the book of Corinthians that whatsoever you build upon the foundation will be tried, and it will be tried by fire. Therefore, we ought to be careful what we build and how we build, for there is no other foundation that can be laid than that which is already laid. Turn your Bibles over with me to Genesis chapter 6. Finding faith. Faith, according to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, is defined as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And if you are to be found faithful, this ought to be a motto. This ought to be something that you ought to live by. This ought to be something that you are to have placed on your eyelids, on your frontlets, in your hearts. And therefore, it ought to be a driving force with everything you do. In Genesis chapter 6, what I'm going to show you in these various scriptural texts is to look at the dynamics of what's going on in and around the people. Look at what's going on in and around those that have faith. You all are familiar with this story. You're familiar with Noah. You're familiar with what he had to endure and what he had to go through. But let's take a look at this real quick. Do I have a reader? Brother Eddie, will you read for me, if you don't mind? If we can start at verse number 1, we're just going to read down to verse number 6.
All right. Now it came about when men began to multiply on the face of the land.
Uh-huh.
And the daughters were born to them.
Uh-huh.
That the Son of God saw the daughters of men were beautiful, and they took wives to themselves, mm-hmm. whomever they chose.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever.
All right.
Because he also is flesh.
All right.
Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years.
Keep going.
The Nephims were all on the earth those days, and also afterwards, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men,
uh-huh.
and they were born of children to them, those were the mighty men who were of old, men of the renown.
All right, verse 5 and 6.
Then the Lord saw that the wicked of man
All right.
was great on the earth, and that every intent of thoughts of his hearts was only evil continually.
All right.
Then the Lord was sorrow that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart.
All right, a couple of key points is that we need to look at the very fact that due to this wickedness, the Lord saw it. Too often in time, we as mankind, we're looking for this or that. But what we want to focus on is what the Lord sees. So remember, the Bible teaches us that no man knows the heart, what is in the heart of another man. But the Lord knows, just as I pointed out to you in class. When we looked at the children of Egypt, they didn't know that Pharaoh and his army was heading back to get them initially, up until Pharaoh and his army was in visible sight. Prior to that, only God knew. The children of Israel weren't aware of that. So God had to protect them. Now look at what's going on here. It says that the Lord saw that the thoughts and that the imagination of the heart was evil continually. But we know that somebody found grace. right? We know that somebody was upright in this generation and found grace. And if we go to, you don't have to go there, but you should know what it says, that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, it says, Noah found faith, all right? By faith, Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen, moved with fear, and he prepared an ark. But it was by his faith, and it was because of his faithfulness that he and his sons, his wife, and their wives were saved. It is by his faith. So here's my question to you that I'm going to reiterate throughout this sermon and throughout this lesson. Is what difference can your faith make? If you don't retain, display your faith, carry out your faith, how much of a difference could it make? However, if your faith is put on display, how much of a difference can it make? Because in this case, it saved everyone from utter desolation. Now, God was always going to have a way for things to be reconciled unto him, for we know that that's what the Bible teaches. But in this example, what we're looking at is by the faith that was found in Noah, in his obedience, he saved all mankind from utter desolation. Flip over a few pages to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. We're just looking at a few examples ahead of time to look at what God had done with his people in times past as it related to their faith. Then we're going to bring it right on down Homeboy Boulevard, as Brother Leo Judy from King Street would say. We're going to come right on down Homeboy Boulevard, and we're going to make the application ourselves, because we have to see how our faith as disciples of Christ plays a part in today's society, all right, and what goes on today. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean or guarantee that everything is going to be perfect and that there's going to be just utter blissful peace, right? For we know that there will be evilness. As I showed you this, as I showed you earlier, that the spiritual wickedness will continue to be made manifest. But the idea is for us to long for heaven, all right? In Genesis chapter 18, if you'll read with me, I'm going to start reading at verse number 16. It says, and the man rose up from thence. Genesis chapter 18, starting at verse 16. The man rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and that they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment. And the Lord may bring up Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And the Lord said, because of the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because the sin is so grievous. Now, who said this? This is the Lord saying this. Abraham didn't need to declare the sinful nature of what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. God already knew. You don't need to declare the sinful nature of the next person. God already knows. He's known that person's past. He knows that person's future. He knows what sins of that person is in the past and what sins of that person lies in the future. God has already got that covered. So it says, shall I reveal it to him? Not so much. But the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah and the sins are very grievous. Verse number 21. We're going to go down to verse number 33. 21. The Lord says, I will go down now. Excuse me. He says, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is coming to me. And if not, I will know. And then men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Now, I'm going to stop there, and you should be familiar with this. You know that Abraham begins to go into what we would call negotiations with the Lord. All right? And not so much a negotiation, but even a petition. All right? That he requested and wanted to know if he would spare the whole on behalf of the few. And we know that that number started at 50, and it dwindled all the way down to 10. And it went all the way on down between several different numbers. But remember, the Bible says that the sins were grievous, and the Lord was ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But because of faithful Abraham, Abraham said, will you spare the whole by reason of the few? And the Lord continues to say, watch this. I want you to look. Just take a few minutes. Look at verse number 26. And look at verse number 28. And in both of those verses, for the most part, in King James, I know it. I don't know about the other translations. But in King James, in both of those verses, the Lord God says, if I find. Which means he's going to be looking. Which means he is looking for the faithful. And he tells Abraham, if I find the few, then I will spare the whole. If I find the few, I will spare the whole. And in the verses thereafter, he continues to repeat not so much the exact same words, but the same principle. I will spare it for those few. I will spare it for those few. All right? So if you go down to verse number 31, and he said, behold, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure, there shall be 23 found. And he said, I will not destroy for 20's sake. 20's sake. And he said, verse number 32, O Lord, let not thy Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for even 10's sake. And the Lord went his way. And as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, Abraham had returned into his place. So what am I showing you here? Is the very fact that through Abraham being faithful as Abraham has been faithful, he was even able to have this sort of negotiation with the Lord. But what we have to remember when it comes to faith is that the Lord will be looking. And as I said at the beginning, I'm going to repeat at the end. When he's looking, if he's looking now or looking later, will you be found faithful? Because he will be looking. So irregardless of what it looks like to me, what looks like to you, of whether the next person is or is not faithful, what counts is whether we are found faithful in the eyesight of the Lord. So my encouragement to you is to remain faithful so that when the Lord comes back and he's looking, you will be seen in his eyesight being faithful. All right? And so what I wanted to encourage you on that is that the Lord says, if I find, man's perception of righteousness can be convoluted. It can be distorted. We looked at Daniel. We didn't look at it, but in Daniel chapter 9, verse 14, you see that it is acknowledged that God is righteous. And so when we know that God is righteous and he has righteous judgment, when he looks for righteousness, it will be lined up with his righteous judgment. All right? So faithfulness was sought prior to the destruction of wicked nations whose sin was grievous. Flip over into the New Testament for me. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Let's look at the book of Luke. Luke chapter 13. My prayer is that you understand, once again, as I stated even during a Bible class, it's not a point-proving contest. It's not me trying to be the man, but rather be a vessel to remind and encourage you of what God's word says. And I would love for you, just as myself, to strive to be faithful. Because if we want eternal glory, faithfulness is required. The Bible teaches us that without faith, it is impossible to please him. So there's no way for us to walk about faithless and please him. Faith is going to be on display. We can say we have faith. We can proclaim we have faith. But we need to show our faithfulness through obedience. Remember, that's what we looked at in Noah. That's what we're looking at with Abraham. I have faith, but I'm going to show that by being obedient. All right? So in Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 5, here's what it says. There were present at the season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus answered and said unto him, now remember, I'm just encouraging you right now, in John chapter 12, verse 48, Jesus says, the words that I have spoken will judge thee in the last day. Let's look at what Jesus said. Luke chapter 13, verse number 2. Jesus answered and said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans because they suffered such things. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18, upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Why do I take you to read this verse? It's because it doesn't matter what grievous sin that was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. Doesn't matter what wickedness was going on in the hearts of men in the early parts of Genesis. It doesn't matter what wickedness is going on today in and around us. Except we likewise repent, we can find ourselves being separated from God. But the faithfulness is what is required of us to remain faithful to His commands. If we don't remain faithful and we feel like we can live a sinful and lascivious life, best of luck at the gates. Best of luck. But Jesus just said, unless ye repent, likewise, you shall also perish. And so what we need to understand out of this is that it doesn't matter how grievous the sin. Whose sin is worse than whose? Repentance was the key for all. And we know, would you agree, that we live in a pretty wicked society these days. We hear about and see things going on each and every day. Within our cities, our towns, within our country, within countries abroad. It is going on and wickedness has prevailed. And here's what I would urge you to consider. Think about this. For whatever time frame it was between the creation and Genesis chapter 6, He decided to destroy the wickedness that was upon the earth at that time. And He hasn't destroyed the earth utterly just yet since then. That much more wickedness has continued on and gotten increasingly worse, and we are still on the time side of life. So consider that. Consider His long-suffering and patience with us for the wickedness that we see and have to endure on this side of the flood, if you will. And not only that, consider this. Our Lord Jesus died and suffered on the cross. We were baptized for the remission of the sins. But think about the very fact that He nailed the sins of your sons and daughters, of their sons and daughters, and of sons and daughters that haven't even been born yet. Their sins have already been nailed to the cross. And they will have an opportunity to come into the knowledge of Christ Jesus, repent of the sins that have been committed, and to conform unto the way of Christ in order to make heaven their eternal home if life on this side of time continues to prevail in the way that it goes. So consider that. The point in Luke chapter 13 again is it doesn't matter who has the greater sin, for we know that all sin has the wages that ends in death. So rather it's the white little white lie, or rather it's the massive, enormous sin, it all has the same result. But it is our faithfulness that can make a big difference, all right? Turn over to Luke chapter 18, a few pages to the right. Luke chapter 18. Verse number 1, it says, and He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, it teaches us to pray without ceasing. Would a non-believer pray? Maybe. But would a non-believer be heard? Because the Bible teaches us that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. And what are we praying for? What are we being patient for? What are we working for? What are we looking for? Where is our faithfulness when He looks for faithfulness in us as disciples of Christ? So don't stop praying. Look at what He says to say in verse number 2. There's a city. In the city there's a judge which feared not God, nor regarded man. There was a widow in that city. She came to Him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And He would not for a while. But afterward He said within Himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow bothers me, she troubleth me, I will avenge her so she could stop bothering me. All right, you know I'm paraphrasing. He says, I'm going to avenge her lest she will come to me and weary me. Verse number 6. The Lord said, hear what the unjust judge say. And shall not the God, who is the just God, he's the just judge, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry to him day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Will he find faith in you? Will you be found faithful? Will you be found faithful to his services? Will you be found faithful to his commands? The Bible says he will try you. He will test you. And he also says in the book of John, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if we keep his commandments, we can be found faithful. Here's what I want you to get out of Luke chapter 8. A, always stay in prayer, even though we live and dwell in a wicked society. Always stay in prayer. Judge, even though, pray without ceasing, because we have a God who loves us and desires for us to be saved. The widow who was opposing the tax, she wanted revenge, and she wanted it executed by this judge. But this judge, we can be easily looked at as a leader. All right? Consider that. He didn't care anything for the people. He only cared how he would constantly be bothered and pestered. All right? He spoke within himself. He acknowledged the fact that he didn't fear God, and he didn't have any regard for man. He decided to go ahead and give some vengeance, only to suffice the pestering member of the city. All right? Now, sometimes we can bring that right home to the church. It's easy to make decisions because of the pestering members, constantly murmuring, I'm going to go ahead and make a decision to do something that is not of God and is not wise and is not cohesive with the word. But I'll leave that right where it's at. But look at this. Regardless of those who needed, wanted, and desired the revenge of those who needed punishment. You know how sometimes people commit a crime and it's easy for people to say they should pay the price. We want justice. We want justice to be served, right? Some of my favorite shows are the Datelines of 48 Hours and 2020s and 60 Minutes and, you know, First 48. I'm all over that stuff. And it's even worse now that I'm in counterterrorism for the police department because I see and read about every crime. It is unbelievable. And it's easy to look at that and say, they should pay the price. They should, you know, serve their time. We need justice to be served. Well, I want you to understand, although we may feel that and want that and desire that, just like I showed you in the book of Luke, unless we repent likewise, we could all perish ourselves. So we can go out and commit crimes and do the things that we want to do. But again, can we do that and obtain heaven? It's going to be very impossible to do. All right? So the idea is whether or not these crimes are happening, whether or not the society is evil or not, will you be found faithful? Because the Bible says every knee shall bow, and everyone will have to give an account for what you have done in your body, whether it be righteous or wicked. You cannot give an account for the evil that's done by someone else's hand, but only by yours. All right? So a righteous should continue to stay in prayer, but faith must be found upon the Lord's return. Remember, that's what we read in verse number 8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Ask yourself that. When he comes, will he find faith on the earth? The answer should be a resounding yes. You know why? Because you should be able to point to yourself and say, this is where he's going to find it. Right here. You know, when I was doing a business venture several years ago, it was the funniest thing that this gentleman said, but it was so true. And I took that principle, and I said the same thing as it relates to the Bible and sharing the Bible. This was about the business opportunity. The man would say, you know, every day I wake up, I say, who's the lucky person that's going to meet me today? And I said, that makes sense. It does make sense. But that was about a business venture. I feel the same way when it comes to the Lord's work and the Lord's word. And I say, who's the lucky person that's going to meet me today? So I can share with them some good news. So I can share with them an opportunity to come to know Christ. Who's going to meet me today? Right? Because I'm going to display my faith. All right. So let me remind you of a few things as we get ready to draw to a close towards this lesson. Do you remember this in your Bible, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 22, that en route to revive the ruler's daughter who had passed away, the woman with the blood issue, she touched the hem of his garment. You guys remember that? She touched the hem of his garment. Said such within herself. Jesus said to her, your faith made you whole. Not the touching of the garment. Your faith made you whole. Do you remember in Luke chapter 5, verse 20? Jesus was in a home teaching. And that there was a man that was caught up with palsy in the bed. And there were so many people at this house that they couldn't get the man in the bed to the house. Yes. So they went on top of the roof. Created a hole in the roof to lower the man down. You guys remember that in the Bible? You know what he said unto them? Because of your faith. Because of your faith. He says, I saw their faith and forgave their sins. All right. Do you remember in Luke chapter 17 where the 10 were cleansed? The 10 lepers, right? And the one came back and said, thank you. What did Jesus tell him? He said, arise and go thy way. Thy faith has healed you. Thy faith has made you whole. Hebrews chapter 10, just a couple more. Now the just shall live how? By faith. Yeah, it's all right. The just shall live by faith. Why? Because God is just. And if we are of God, then we should be just. And if God is faith, and we can't please him without faith, then we are striving in the state of faithfulness. And we should be faith. We should be just. And the just live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. That is what the Bible teaches in Hebrews chapter 10 and 38. And as I've already quoted several times, Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please him without faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Because guess what? When he returns, he's going to be doing some seeking. He's going to be doing some looking. And when he looks and seeks, will he find faith in you? Will he find you faithful? So much like yesterday, our todays are filled with wickedness. It's been wicked since the beginning, right? It's been wicked since Genesis chapter 6 and even prior to when Cain slew his brother Abel. We know that, right? But even in Genesis chapter 6, it says the imagination of man was continually evil. And then we looked at Sodom and Gomorrah and it said that the sin was grievous. And then we can look at all types of examples throughout the Bible from the Old Testament on into the New of grievous sins. Whether it be slaughters or genocides or whatever the case. We can look at all kinds of things and place any kind of categorical level as to how great or small the sin is. But Jesus says it doesn't matter. Whether the tower fell on them because of their sin, or rather they were slain because of their sin, or rather they fell off the side of a cliff, it doesn't matter. Unless you repent and remain faithful, you shall likewise perish. So you want to be found faithful. So watch this. Much like yesterday's, our todays are filled with wickedness. They're filled with evil hearts. These days are filled with grievous sins. These days are also filled with leaders who care not about people. Some people. We could all no doubt find reasons within our heart that the unrighteousness and ill choices warrant consequences that signify justice being served. However, justice is not our focus. Heaven is. Heaven is our focus. We ought to be found praying, repenting, and petitioning the Lord petitioning the Lord perhaps by our faith that the whole can be spared, like Abraham did. I know that it's sin over Sodom and Gomorrah, but will you spare the whole by reason of 50? What about less than 5? What about less than 10? Will you spare the whole by reason of just 10? And the Lord says, I'll spare them, but I'm going to be the one doing the looking. I'm going to be the one to look for the faith. And if I can find 10 faithful, then I'll spare all however many hundreds of thousands or however many was there. By this reason, and only because a righteous man petitioned. You guys saw that. Don't miss that point. That it was a righteous man that made the petition. It wasn't anyone that just frivolously said, Lord, please forgive us, spare us. It was one who actually believed in and obeyed Almighty Father who made the petition. We ought to be doing the same. When our Lord returns and you stand before him to give an account, you don't want to hear, "Well done, you've been faithful to the slogan. Well done, you have held true to the movement." You don't want to hear that, right? Look, I even got the insignia on my arm. Well done. No, that's not what you want to hear. You want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Come into my rest. Right? Come into the joy of the Lord. Turn over to Revelation chapter 2, 22, and the lesson is yours. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 through 20. Here's what it says. "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of this book, from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. And even so, come, Lord Jesus. And here's what I say to you. Watch therefore, for ye know not the day nor the hour that the Lord shall come." Matthew chapter 25:13. "When he comes, will you be found faithful?" I've spoken the word in your ears this morning. I hope and pray that these words have been encouraging unto you. But let me remind you, if you have for the first time, which I know for the most part, the majority of you have not for the first time heard the words of the Lord. But if you have heard his word and you believe his word, allow his word to compel you into action. Allow his word to compel you into repentance. We need to understand that this applies to us even beyond baptism. See, so often it is easy for us to point these words towards someone who has not been baptized. Even though we are baptized into the body of Christ, for those that have been baptized, if it is all of us, we still need to continue to hear his word. We don't turn our hearing off. We continue to hear his word because his word will continue to speak to our hearts. We continue to hear. You continue to believe, because guess what? If you decide to hear and turn off belief just because you got baptized, that means nothing else matters. You won't continue to remain faithful. So you must continue to believe. And guess what? It will also urge you, based off of what you hear and believe, to compel you to continue to repent for the transgressions that you have committed and for the transgressions that you haven't even committed yet. The transgressions of the heart, the transgressions of the mind, the transgressions of our hand require continual repentance. So repentance doesn't stop just because we got in the water. Amen? We must continue to repent. Otherwise, we could also perish. We must continue to confess his name. That's why I asked earlier, if the president was to walk in, what would be our conduct? But if the Lord Jesus was to walk in, what would be our conduct? And if he is to be with us and among us, and we want to proclaim his good name no matter where we go and no matter where we are. Remember, he didn't put a time frame on when to confess his name and when not to confess his name. He didn't say after you're baptized, you can stop professing my name and confessing my name. You're good. No, continue to confess his name. All right? And the Bible teaches us in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 that there is one baptism. And that puts us in Christ. And we read earlier in Galatians that as many of you have been baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. But guess what? If you have not been baptized into Christ, you haven't put on Christ. And therefore, you can't have salvation. You have to put on Christ. You have to get in Christ. And the great thing about it, which I love and I tell people, if Jesus was baptized, what's your problem? I just keep it simple. So the Bible tells us to be baptized for the remission of our sins, and we shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But then it also teaches us to remain faithful unto death. And guess what? You will be given a crown of life. If you have a request to be made known to the church, make it known. If you have not put on Christ in the baptism, you can make sure the baptism pool is ready for you. But I encourage you, brothers and sisters here in Perlon, no matter where you are, whether you stay here, or live somewhere else, remain faithful so that whenever Jesus comes back, you will be found faithful. Let us all stand as together we will sing the invitations. No tears.